With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It was Covey and the Butcher Boy, I believe. They had a tournament of all the best sports movies of all time, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. If you'd like to get into your all-time sports movies, I'm more than happy to go there. Again, we've got 4 hours together. It's a lot of time to kill. 888-957-9570 is the phone line. The Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. Let's give you a little bit of a preview of what you're in for the next 4 hours. I don't expect all of you to stay the whole 4 hours. I expect most of you to, though. And I expect most of you to chime in one way or another. Rick, please stop eating or chewing gum or sucking on candy, please. I'm not Rick, and I'm not doing any of those things, so sorry. I don't know what you're hearing, but I don't have anything in my mouth. Thank you for listening that intently. Big Herb, love your shows. This is from 510. Where's the Take Lent Cause? Take Tent Cause. Cause. In Mexico on vacation, but tuning in. I don't understand this at all. This is where you need to call, 888-957-9570. All right, official stuff that we are going to have in the show. We are going to be sucking on now and laters for most of the program, just to alienate that one listener who thinks I'm chewing on candy or something. At 520, Jessica Kleinschmidt, my new favorite guest. She's fantastic. She is from NBC Sports Bay Area. She's a baseball guest. And we kind of park in the same garage. She's into telling people stories, not just nuts and bolts and stats and numbers and all that and advanced analytics. What's this dude like? What makes him interesting and fun? I like talking to Jessica. Talked with her for the first time last week. That's why we're bringing her back. At 6:20, we are efforting to get Connor Letourneau. I have a feeling the Warriors are going to carry this program as they should, as they always do, as I would prefer they do. Yes, I'm known as a baseball guy, but basketball, my favorite sport, been a lifelong Warriors fan, and I can't get enough of this. Even when the storylines are negative, I cannot get enough. I try to flip those storylines to make them positive, but sometimes you just got to let the story go where the story goes. Kevin Durant, what else is new? He's in the middle of it all. Kevon Looney, though, I see in my San Francisco Chronicle, part of my Saturday, part of every Saturday for me, is grabbing 8 quarters from my laundry bucket. And it is a bucket. There's got to be $1 million in quarters there. I'm exaggerating. Not a million. At least 100. Maybe $200 in quarters in my bucket. And I have another bucket left over from my last move that I still haven't gotten into. I might have $400 in quarters. At which point, everybody who lives in Livermore is thinking, I got to find out where he lives and steal his $400 in quarters. You're never going to find that. You're never going to find that. Anyway, I grab 8 quarters. I go to the rusted out, and it is rusted out. It's almost, I wouldn't say it's almost not functioning because it's been reliable for me, but it's a metal box painted yellow, and it's got some rust in it. And I pump the 8 quarters in, and I pull my San Francisco Chronicle out, and I get to my San Francisco Chronicle Sporting Green. It's where I learned how to write. It's been part of my Saturday afternoon forever. Bruce Jenkins, my favorite writer. That's how I first got hip to him. And Kevon Looney is the lead story above the fold. And I love it. And look, on the same week that we lost Boogie Cousins, and that was, I feel so bad for the guy. I feel terrible for the guy. Think about what he's gone through, whether you like Boogie Cousins or not. Just on a human level, think about what he's been through in the past 12 to 16 months. He suffers an ungodly injury, which could derail his career completely. Just when he's about to make his first appearance ever in the postseason. So that gets taken away from him. And then he goes out on the free agent market, obviously doesn't get what he wants, what he thinks he deserves. So he calls Bob Myers. He signs with the Warriors. May as well get a ring with a team that doesn't necessarily need me. which means they're not going to rush me back into action, which means I can take my time in my rehab. And he's done just that. And he came back and he looked great. We all understood that it wasn't the full boogie, that he was going to work his way there. And I assumed by the time the NBA Finals rolled around, we would get as close to the full boogie experience as we would get in Golden State, because after he showed close to the full boogie experience, he was going to get the deal he wanted in free agency. Now that he's hurt again, people are starting to think, oh, well, he'll just re-sign with the Warriors, or at least this increases the chances that the Warriors will be able to re-sign him. I don't know that that's the smartest thing to do, and I don't think the Warriors are necessarily inclined to go there. It brings to mind one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite guys to ever cover, which was Ken Maka, former manager of the Oakland A's. Back when what the A's do is exploit market inefficiencies. A lot of people got it wrong, got Moneyball wrong. It wasn't about on-base percentage. On-base percentage just happened to be the market inefficiency that they exploited. And once they did, and everybody else caught on, it's not like everybody else didn't realize on-base percentage was important. Everybody knew that for years and years and years. But the A's, high-profile book comes out, they're exploiting that market inefficiency, and all of a sudden they have to find a new one because everyone else is onto this. The one they seemed to be onto was, well, they would go get injured players because you could get them on the cheap. Of course, why? Because they get hurt. But then as you sign these injured players, what happens? Well, I'll let Ken Maka tell you. He says, players with injury history get hurt. And he said that just like that. In fact, I felt like Ken when I was saying it. Players with injury histories get hurt. And they do. Boogie got hurt. Again, he's been hurt a lot. I don't know if a lot's fair. But I don't think the Warriors are inclined to roll those dice again. And as good as Kevon Looney has been, if there's any way to lock that guy up, go ahead and do it. He's 23. He needs no attention. He's the big man equivalent. This may be a little bit of a stretch. The big man equivalent of Klay Thompson. He's the no-maintenance player. Now, Klay is a no-maintenance superstar. Kevon Looney is just the no-maintenance big man. It's always good to have some no-maintenance guys when you've got some high-maintenance guy. I would say KD's high-maintenance, right? You with me? Draymond, maybe? A little bit high-maintenance? I'm just happy to see Kevon Looney getting some of the attention that he so deserves. So again, Connor Letourneau, Warriors beat writer. He'll be joining us hopefully in the 6 o'clock hour. Vern Glenn, he was with us for a few segments last weekend. He's a sports anchor at KPIX, great friend of the program. He will join us to talk about all things Bay Area sports. And at 8:20, Dieter Kurtenbach. What is your address there? He's from the San Jose Mercury News, the Bay Area News Group. Bang! He's going to be joining us. He can also talk about pretty much everything. Again, we'll be Warriors heavy. We would love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Who's been the most valuable player for the Warriors in this playoff series thus far? You might be surprised by my answer. I'm Michael Irvin, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Very nice, Jeff. This is familiar to me. Logic, there you go. Thank you very much, Jeff Gold, musical stylings of Jeff Gold. We've got Lonnie. He is the producer of the day. Lonnie and I get to work together quite a bit lately, and I'm digging it. He's a very prepared young man. Let's see. Got to pay off the tease. I forgot that we have Jessica Kleinschmidt. How can I forget that? I should have been teasing a baseball topic, but I teased the topic that is always going to be, we're always going to be there on this station. The Warriors. Who's the MVP thus far for me in this Warrior series? I'm going to go ahead and hold off on that. I'm not going to pay it off. I'm going to make you stick around with us because if you haven't been familiar with Jessica Kleinschmidt's stylings, you need to be. I want to clear up the call board quick because I want to reward patience. Mike is in Santa Clara. Mike, what you got? This may be the only Sharks talk that will exist on this show for the next 4 hours, so make the most of it. What's going on?
All right, so the Warriors are global. I totally get it. And we have two football teams, two baseball teams, and you can pick your sides. But for those who are not paying attention to the San Jose Sharks, Thornton's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Pavelski, Couture, Kane, and Carlson. Even if we don't win it this year, I had a friend over the house last Saturday, and for the first time in his life, he's a 49ers fan. He watched the TV with me while we were watching the Sharks game, going over something for work. He bought tickets to the Thursday night game, and he was there. He was like, this is amazing. So, hey, pay attention to the Sharks. They're worth it. That's my point.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your phone call. And, yeah, if you want to turn somebody on to hockey who's not into hockey, the only way you're going to turn them on to it is either to get them there live or to get them to watch a playoff hockey game. Because playoff hockey is completely different. I'm with you 100%. James in San Mateo. What's going on, man?
I just wanted to say, to preface it, I really hope Cousins gets paid more by some other team than the Warriors.
Because you don't want him back?
Keep him. I want the best for him, and the best for him is money. So if somebody pays him more, I want him to go and succeed somewhere. As far as whether or not Warriors will take an injury-prone Boogie, we're talking about the Warriors with Seth's ankles, Looney's hip, Livingston's knees. I think that they'll be patient with him if the opportunity comes up.
All right, thank you for the phone call, James. I appreciate it. We are going to pivot ever so slightly from the Golden State Warriors, which is going to be a topic throughout the 4 hours, to Bay Area baseball. Jessica Kleinschmidt, she's an analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. Thank you, Lonnie, for spelling it out because I have a hard time with all the acronyms in the Bay Area. Jessica, how are you? Thank you for joining us again.
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. When I told Lonnie that I would give you the option of either we'll call you back in five or you can hang on, he said, she's happy to hang on. She's happy all the time. I love that about you, Jessica.
I am always happy. And when I'm not, it's scary, but rarely does that happen.
What is it that makes Jessica Kleinschmidt unhappy? Can you share that with us?
Oh, honestly, it's just when I'm hungry. That's the only time, I'm really upset.
When's the last time you ate, Jessica?
I just ate before I got on here. I didn't want to put you guys through that.
So we're getting the best of Jessica Kleinschmidt right now.
You are. Full belly Jess is always a good Jess.
All right. And if you want to get full belly Jess, well, I can't believe I just said that. On Twitter, it would be at Kleinschmidt JD. Let me smell that for you. Let me spell that for you. Kleinschmidt JD. All right?
Yeah.
That's correct, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. So what is it that's floating your boat these days with Bay Area baseball? Is it the shock of all shocks? The A's decided they're going to keep someone who's really good right now for the future. It's only 2 years, but you got to crawl before you walk, right?
Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of celebrity couples. If a couple lasts for 5 years in Hollywood, that's everybody else lasting for 25 years.
Correct.
2 year extension for A's is a 10-year, marriage for a celebrity couple. And I think it's great. And the thing I love about Chris Davis, besides how much fun he's bringing to, or how much, I guess, commitment he's bringing to the A's, is I feel like he's going to be kind of morphing or growing over the years, whether it's opening up. And he kind of reminds me of Joey Votto back in the day when he was scared to talk to the media. Now he can't get him to shut up to the media. And I'm thinking that that's going to be Chris Davis. You see him growing. He gave a very short and sweet press conference, which is very him. And now David Forrest, general manager of the A's, is very open to having these conversations of other, well-known A's, the Matt Chapmans of the world, the core players that deserve those extensions. So if anything, it's getting that conversation going, which is that new era of Oakland A's baseball that fans have been craving for the last 20 years. So it's good to know that that conversation's at least going on.
The voice you hear is that of Jessica Kleinschmidt. She is a baseball analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. Follow her on Twitter at KleinschmidtJD. Jessica, you just mentioned Joey Votto, correct?
Yeah, he's my favorite player.
Is that right? Okay. Is Bruce Jenkins one of your favorite writers? He is mine.
He's a top-ish for me.
Okay. I'm not going to force you to love him the way I love him.
Putting me on the
But no. But I'm putting it all together because you love Joey Votto and I love Bruce Jenkins. And Bruce Jenkins wrote a little bit about Joey Votto today. Part of my Saturday routine is picking up the Chronicle Sporting Green. That's what I grew up on, and reading Bruce Jenkins 3-Dot Lounge. And this is astounding, truly astounding. This isn't A's. This isn't Giants.
The pop up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Do you want me to read it or you want to share it? Do you have it off the top of your head?
It is. So I don't know the number specifically, but I did know up until recently he had never popped out to a first baseman or a catcher, and he just recently popped out to a first baseman. And I tweeted out thinking, did Joey just popped out to a first baseman? And the MLB.com beat reporter, Mark Sheldon, said, yes, you did witness that. And it's just a weird thing because this guy hits lefty, first of all, and he's never popped out to the first baseman until just recently, which blows my mind. And then he did another first. I think it was his first ever leadoff homer, and now he's ranked fourth for the Reds and leadoff or for homers and stuff like that. So he did two firsts in the last week.
Yeah, and let me give you the specific numbers. He had gone 1,591 games and 6,827 plate appearances without popping up to the first baseman. And beyond that, he had only popped up to anybody seven times in the years 2010 through 2018. Eight seasons, he only popped up seven times.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
It almost reminds me, because they were talking about it on, I think, Giants post-game live, between that and, like, other things, you know, crazy records. And I think that's more rare than almost, like, Cal Ripken is 21-31 games. I think that's just as rare. I really do.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now let's get into some Giants baseball. Madison Bumgarner gave up four runs in the first inning, didn't give up anything thereafter. He's looked pretty good so far. Is that something that, as a Giants fan, you should be happy about just because Madison Bumgarner looks good and healthy and he's pitching well? Or is it more, do you look at he's going to make himself more attractive to other teams? This is going to make him more tradable?
I think it's a little bit of both. And, like, he's playing well, but they're not winning any games. Mm-hmm. So from a Giants fan perspective, I can understand how that might be frustrating. But on the flip side, like you said, you know, it's no different than, like, when the wife starts losing weight. You're like, why are you losing weight? Why are you trying to be more attractive? If you want people to look at you, right? That's kind of where it goes down to. And Madison Bumgarner, of course, is that number one guy besides these relievers that are going to be on that trading block and have consistently been in trade talk. So it's both. You know, he's pitching very well, which is great for Giants fans. But like I said, that's cool. But Giants fans want the team to win. So they could care less about that. But then they freak out knowing, well, this guy's successful, but he's going to end up being successful for a winning team. And as much as Mad Bum has said over and over again, he wants to play for the Giants. He also, him and Farhan Zaidi have been very hush-hush about what they've talked about, too. So we know Farhan being brought in, he's going to be making some weird moves. They just recently announced, I think Ken Rosenthal reported that they're open to trading their relievers now. So Farhan's always thinking. His head's always ticking. Something's going to happen, but both sides of the spectrum could be a positive and a negative reaction for that.
Jessica Kleinschmidt is a baseball analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. We're talking a little Giants baseball, specifically Madison Bumgarner. Now, we look at it and look at his outings and we say, okay, he's pitching well. He's making himself somewhat tradable. But his ERA is 3.66. We've seen Madison better than this. It's just we've also now seen him worse. So this is an encouraging sign. You mentioned Giants fans want the Giants to be winning. I grew up a Giants fan. I don't expect them to win. I expect them to rebuild now. I don't care about them winning. What percentage do you think longtime Giants fans are in that boat?
Oh, gosh. And I don't think that Giants fans are comfortable with the rebuilding process.
Really?
And I think respectfully so. I mean, they won, 87 world championships in 5 years, or whatever that crazy number was. And I think you kind of get obsessed with winning, right? And then you don't. And it's humbling, but then this is beyond humbling at this point. And I hate saying that because moving to the area, I was very much looking forward to covering the Giants and to see what's going on. It's been really sad to know that you guys have this team has the right ingredients to a certain extent, but they're not all meshing together and whipping up something, you know, delicious, if you will. And that's what's frustrating is I hate teams that, but the Reds. The Reds always have a great, great roster, but they cannot win games. And that, to me, as a fan of a team would stress me out the most. But I don't think it's a really big number. I think it's a rather big number of fans that are frustrated with this rebuilding process. But I also think there's a good amount of fans that are going to be patient with it, right? They still come out to games. I know they were complaining about that 31,000 number attendance not too long ago. And being raised an A's fan, I'm like, hey, that's a great number.
You
know,
right.
Like, I forget, though, it's the Giants, it's different. But, you know, it's definitely something that's going on. But it's going to be a real rebuilding process. I hope the Giants fans are embracing that. I just don't think that they are quite yet.
Jessica, you mentioned that the Giants seem willing to trade some of their relievers now, and their bullpen has been a strong suit, or looks like it's going to be throughout the year. I'm looking at a headline here. Melanson may return to closer role. Shouldn't they do that sooner rather than later if they want to try to trade him and get that contract off the books?
Absolutely. And Bruce Bochy was just talking about it yesterday, and Melanson is like becoming, ever since he, you know, left or got his new assignment with the Giants, he's just been crushing it this season. And Bochy's open to kind of mixing things up, but he also has that thing in the back of his mind where last year Melanson had some of those injuries, and I think that's just normal, but I think he has no choice but to experiment. And Bochy himself, a little bit of an off quote here, said his as far as Melanson's diversity goes, that's what makes him, you know, untouchable and valuable to that team. So if you don't take advantage of it, what else can you do? But you also have to be careful, right? I mean, I know the bullpen is like the new thing these days, which I think is wonderful, but you also need to be careful as far as getting too into your bullpen. That's why they're the bullpen guys. They're used to going in at a certain time. So if you mess with it too much, I feel like that screws a lot of things up. But I think Melanson is one of those rare guys that can actually go for it, but you do have to be careful in certain circumstances.
The voice you hear is that of Jessica Kleinschmidt. She is a baseball analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. You can follow her on Twitter, and I suggest you do, at KleinschmidtJD. Jessica, let's stick with the bullpen here. You've got, how many guys do you think legitimately will have trade value out there? I'm thinking Will Smith, for sure.
Will, for sure.
Melanson, if you know, he stays healthy. Who else after that? You got to keep a couple, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, but then we don't know the ROI, like what those guys can what those guys can actually be. But those are the main guys that are kind of being talked about, and as far as the bullpen is concerned, and those are the two main guys. There was another one. Why can't I think of him? That going into the season, they were talking about too, and that was mainly because was it God? I don't think it was no. I don't know who else it was, but they were Watson, I think it was, maybe. I don't know. But I know Will Smith was for sure one of the main guys because of the fact that everybody's shopping bullpen guys so hard these days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those are probably going to be the main two, only because we don't know what that ROI can be. And if you look at the Giants, besides Mad Bum, I mean, those three guys could have a really wonderful ROI. And Farhan Zaidi himself said you have to pay attention to these young guys. So if he wants to get those ROI guys for some younger arms in, you know, the minor leagues, I would be surprised if he did that as far as the bullpen goes. But like I said, the bullpen's so valuable these days, I don't know if he would do anything crazy like that. But I'm very back and forth with that.
For those of you out there who are acronym challenged, as am I, ROI stands for return on investment. Let's talk about Buster Posey, Jessica. What is going on? When I heard that the hip was a significant problem, that he needed surgery, call me weird, but I thought, great, now we have a reason. Now we know why his power numbers have fallen off.
Right.
Assuming the surgery is a success, we should see his power pick up. We haven't seen that. He's hitting .217. What's up?
I know, and people are looking at him, and I want to say it was Kruko that looked at him recently, or Kipe, I don't remember, but they were looking at the way his hip was, and it's not the same. And I get that. You know how you mess something up, you walk weird because you're scared to, you know, use it again. And it's not all there. And if you're a hitter, you know that most of your power is going to come from your lower half. And he's not, I don't think he's 100% mentally there yet. And that's normal. I mean, the guy had a relatively healthy career before this. And so I just don't think he's mentally there yet. Or maybe there is something off. We're used to him obviously being a power hitter, or at least getting on base, you know, and getting consistent hits. But I just don't think he's mentally ready, because after coming after that surgery, the poor guy answered so many times that he's feeling good. But I really think it's a mind thing. There was something going on that he just wants to make sure he's okay, and it's still fresh for him. It's brand new, so I think it's just one of those things that he's going to have to emotionally and mentally get over.
Just a couple of more minutes with Jessica Kleinschmidt. She's a baseball analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. Jessica, is there a Bay Area baseball story that's not getting enough attention, in your opinion?
Matt Chapman, easily.
Talk to me.
I don't think that, and I don't know if it's because, A, it's the A's. They never get enough attention, in my opinion. And that's not even me being an A's fan. That's the fact that Matt Chapman himself last year was begging fans to come out and watch that team when they got their 97 wins. And the fact that you have to beg, that's bad. But the guy is just, I'm a defensive girl. I think more players need to get recognized for their gloves. Hall of Fame-wise, maybe, maybe not. I think you have to be more of an even-keeled player, but I don't think if you're, like, an amazing defensive guy, you should be voted into the Hall. But watching that guy cover as much ground as he does is one of the most beautiful displays of baseball I've ever seen. That's why he did earn a platinum glove. And as far as him in the batter's box, he does it too. And just so consistent. And I don't know stats on him. People have been pushing stats out there. And I think he could be the next guy next to Chris Davis who could be getting that attention for those extension kind of conversations. And I think it's super important for us to pay attention to those types of guys, because if they could have somebody like that return to the A's, and I don't know how loyal he would want to be to that team, because he's no Chris Davis in that loyalty aspect, but he definitely needs a lot more love and a lot more attention. And we want to know what makes him tick and why he's so good with this glove. And I'll happily go ask him with that, but he definitely needs more attention.
Yeah. Jessica, 2 years ago, I had I was writing a piece for The Athletic, and I got a half an hour solo with Matt in the dugout on a Sunday afternoon. You know, there's no batting practice, so he was completely relaxed. Probably the most impressive long interview I've ever done. And remember, he's 2 years younger than he is now, and he's still, how old is the guy right now? 24, 25 most?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was almost unsettling at how long he kept eye contact with me. I mean, normally young guys, their minds will wander. They'll look elsewhere. He was locked in on me, eye contact, to the point where it almost freaked me out. I mean, he's just...
He's into this right now.
He was that good. But what I want to mention is that I'm with you defensively. Everybody, I think what attention Matt gets thus far has been about his defense, and deservedly so. You win a platinum glove, you're obviously the best in the business. But this year, we're starting to see his hitting come along. He's being a little bit more consistent. And I've been hearing for a couple of years, this guy's got a chance at being, you know, one of the top hitters in the American League. Not just one of the stars of the A's, but an MVP candidate, because he's going to be great with a glove and he's getting better with the bat. How do you see his progression offensively?
Offensively, I think he can only get better from here. I do not think he has peaked as far as his bat goes. And I think that's going to happen over time. Obviously, you know, honing your craft, that's all part of the game, and dealing with the right people. And off season super important. And you're also in the same shoot. You're also on the same team as Chris Davis, who knows how to hit the ball. He's actually switched his hitting up too. He just goes into the plate saying, I want to hit like Ken Griffey Jr. And if that's your mentality, that's somebody that you definitely need to be paying attention to. I know the two are very close. So over time, he's only going to get better, because somebody's going to see something in him, whether it's a current hitting coach or a future hitting coach. And the sky's the limit with that guy when it comes to his hitting ability, for sure. And like I said, he's not even at his peak yet.
All right, Jessica, I'm going to send you out with a question about your A's. They're 11-11 right now. Mm-hmm. Is it even appropriate to ask what's wrong with the A's?
Oh, easily. They're pitching. They're pitching terrible. And I feel bad, because Mike Fiers, after the game, he was very honest. He said, it's not working. He basically said, nothing's working my way. And of course, they have a lot of injuries with their pitching. And Lizardo's really trying to get up there. We don't know when AJ Puck's going to get up there. And I think if they have a little bit more batting consistency too, but their pitching's what's most important. As long as they can get to where they can have that bullpen, you know, Blake Treinen gets in, they're fine, but they can't bank on that. They have to have some strong starting pitching, and a one Dallas Keuchel is available, and I think it'd be kind of cool for the A's just to rent him for a season. But I don't think it's going to be good shopping when they're 11-11 right now, and they just faced the Jays and got blown out just about. So we'll see, but they definitely have some pitching stuff they need to work on.
Well, I don't even need to tell you to stay positive, because I know you're going to. That's Jessica Klein-Schmidt of NBC Sports Bay Area. Thank you so much for your time, Jessica. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm sure we will have Jessica throughout the summer. Again, sunny disposition, always good to have, especially when you're covering a team that thus far is underachieving. Go from 97 victories, as the A's did last regular season, to starting out 11-11. Don't worry about it, A's fans. If you know anything about your team, you know that they tend to get off to slow starts, and then they come on like gangbusters, as do the Golden State Warriors when it comes to the postseason. I teased you a Warriors topic. Who's the MVP of the first round series? Against the Clippers, I think you might be surprised with who I think it is. Who do you think it is? Who's the story we're not paying enough attention to? 888-957-9570. Kevin Durant is getting the lion's share of the attention. Well, Kevin Durant and Patrick Beverley, who's been all up in KD's armpits, chest, I don't know, that area between the chest and the waist. That's about where Patrick Beverley has been living on Kevin Durant. It's been fascinating theater. I'm really enjoying watching it. But as you're focusing on that, you're not focusing on something that maybe you should be paying a little bit more attention to. 888-957-9570. If you want to hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, it's 95795. We're pivoting now back to the Golden State Warriors. We are the radio home of Warriors basketball, of course. And any questions you've got on the Warriors, I'm more than happy to answer to the best of my ability. I am Michael Urban. This is 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Did I miss the disembodied voice welcoming everyone back? Or do I get to do that myself? Welcome back, everybody. I'm Michael Urban. We are together until... am I reading this right? 9 o'clock? We're together until 9 o'clock? Okay. We're together tomorrow, 7 to 9 p.m. on Easter. Thanks for that. I'm very happy that you're with us, and I would very much love it if you would be part of the program. If you want to give us a call, that number is 888-957-9570. Again, 888-957-9570. The phone lines are wide open right now, and we have, we've got 10 phone lines here, and not a single person is on hold. So you can either be glass half empty and say, Herbs, you're doing a terrible job of getting phone calls. That's why the phone lines are empty. Or you could go glass half full and say, people are so enamored with what you're saying, they don't want to screw it up. Tell you what, nothing I'm saying is to be all that enamored with. I would much rather discuss with you. 888-957-9570. Believe me, I can flap my gums for the next 3 hours and 12 minutes, and I will do it with a smile on my face, and I will put a smile on the faces of Jeff and Lonnie, who are on the other side of the glass and looking directly at me. But I'm sure they get sick of me after, I don't know, 2 hours and 45 minutes. Or 3 hours and 45 minutes, or 45 minutes. And I got to be honest, I get sick of looking at them sometimes. I'd much rather look at the board that says, look how many people want to talk to you, Herbs. 888-957-9570. Any topic is on the table. The Golden State Warriors, of course, are the biggest sports story in the Bay Area. Both Bay Area baseball teams, they're just kind of muddling along in mediocrity at best. The A's are 11-11. That's the epitome of mediocre, right? The Giants, even worse. They are 8-13. They were expected to be worse than the A's. The A's, I think, have been a mild disappointment thus far, at least for me, but they'll be fine. I covered the A's for 10 years as a beat writer, and virtually every year they got off to a slow start. That's just part of what they do. And it's been a while since I covered them, but they've been doing the same thing. I don't know how it manifests itself, but or why it manifests itself that way, I should say, but that's just the way it is. The Giants, if you weren't expecting this to happen, I don't know what you've been paying attention to. This is a rebuild year. And Jessica Kleinschmidt, who was good enough to join us, she is a baseball analyst with NBC Sports Bay Area. She is the most positive member of the Bay Area media you're going to run into. She really is. So I would suggest that you follow her if you are a glass half full type. Because she is going to keep the glass half full the entire time. But if you're looking at what the Giants have done, and Jessica said most fans, most Giants fans, she suspects aren't really down with the rebuild. I don't get that. I don't get it. We've got a Raider realist who has called in. By the way, that call, it's toll-free. Rick frequently points that out. I never point it out. And maybe I should. Maybe that's something that holds some people back. It's a toll-free call. 888-957-9570. Raider realist is in Hayward. Let's go to Raider realist now. What's happening, Double R?
What's up, Irv?
What you got for me, man?
I was just calling to take a stab at who you were going to say would be the MVP for the Warriors right now.
All right, what do you got?
And just predicated off of your tease, I'm going to say Kevon Looney.
Very, very well done. But you mispronounced Kevon. Did you do that on purpose because of what you read this morning?
No. Kevon.
It's Kevon.
Is it Kevon, Kevon?
Can I read you something?
As long as it's...
I thought you were being topical. I'm going to read something. This is from Connell Letourneau, who might be joining us in the 6 o'clock hour. This is his lead from today's article, all right? Los Angeles Dateline. Checking into the game for the Warriors, number 5, Kevon Looney. Next paragraph. The Golden State Center's first name should be pronounced Kevon, but the Staples Center public announcer dresser hasn't caught on yet. So you're not the only person to get it wrong, my friend. No problem at all. And you are right. That's what really matters. You're right. Kevon Looney, to me right now, he's not only physically been the most important player for the Warriors, but mentally, that you have Kevon Looney or Kevon Looney. It doesn't matter what you want to call him. With Boogie Cousins getting hurt, Kevon Looney being there makes you feel a whole hell of a lot better, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. I'm very happy. Plus, I'm happy that we actually have the rights to be able to take whatever or give him whatever money he needs to get so that we can keep him next year, because I think they're going to go ahead and do that. The crazy thing is that I don't think a lot of people know how touted he was coming out of UCLA. Is actually they were looking at him more as like a three-point threat because he used to shoot it pretty well when he, you know, going into UCLA. So that's the craziest part about it until he broke down, and obviously now he's just kind of rounding into form.
Well, and you're certain if you didn't know that, and sorry to interrupt, I'll let you finish, but if you didn't know that about Kevon, that he was a pretty good shooter back at UCLA, you're starting to see it now. He's getting more comfortable with that mid-range and being able to step back, and the more he's able to do that, the more he expands his range, the more valuable he becomes to the Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of, you know, my segue into that exact thing. Cause I mean, he's money from the corner spots now every time. Like, he'll turn and shoot with confidence too. So I love to see it cause yeah, he's going to be a big piece and he's going to get paid. I think people are really, really sleeping on Lacob and Goober or Groover, however you say it. Bottom line is like they've said way before, they're going to put as much money toward whatever needs to be. I mean, they've already made money back from Chase Center, and it hasn't even opened yet. So they're going to be just fine. And you know, one last thing, Boogie. I think unfortunately on his behalf, because of the injury, I think this is going to actually lead into him having to come back again and take only 6.4, even though he's worth a lot more than that. But because I don't think he's the type of person that's not going to just go play for some garbage team just because they're going to give him 15 or whatever for the year.
Right.
The next year after, he'll be able to transition with the Warriors and actually get paid. And, you know, I can see some old school. This will be for the old school people, Herbs. I'm sure you'll know. He'll probably get that DeBartolo money, like backdoor or something, just to kind of keep him over. Plus, they're all venture capitalist people out there. So, I mean, if you don't know, they don't already got their money tied in the right things, it doesn't even matter for these guys. They got so much money, and he actually wants to win and loves the area, you know, going out to Sacramento days and all that stuff. So I think he's gonna be unfortunately for him, back with us next year. You know,
but
what I mean?
Raider realist though, obviously you're a Warriors fan. Do you want Boogie back? I mean, this is 2 years in a row that he's suffered pretty devastating injuries.
Absolutely. Because I mean, even if you wean him in, I mean, at 70%, he was better than, you know, 80% of the league already. You know, there was games where you were like, oh my goodness, you'd shake somebody, have a spin move, and then the next game you would see that his limitations because of, you know, the injury, and some days he would have it, some days he doesn't. That was the same way with Bogut back when, you know, and now he's lighter and whatever. So if we can wean him in and catch a break to transition him, especially if KD leaves, that's the thing. If Kevin leaves, then I would definitely love to have him. If he doesn't, it's not as much of a need, just because, you know, that's an extra couple bunch of shots. But I thought it was an embarrassment of riches if he continued to get healthy and he actually had certain games, because there's going to be a big center that we're going to have to deal with,
right?
You know, in one of these games. And I thought he would, you know, because there was times where he would just, you know, have his 28 and 15 and whatever, and really move well. So that was my thought process. But I just feel bad for the guy, you know, because he truly does just want to win. And unlike some people that are all worried about the narrative and social media and all the other things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. That's Raider Realist in Hayward. We're going to go to Ron in Los Altos in just a moment. Plenty of lines open after that. 888-957-9570. Just like the ship deck, Sharon. I got to drop that before the next break. We actually heard that. Actually, every time we hear that commercial, we're going to come back with something special for you. And speaking of something special coming back, this is for you, Jeff. Do you know that this is the 25th anniversary of Nas's Illmatic? Somebody suggested on the text line. I'm just saying, it's a suggestion. I'm not saying you have to do it. Is to get us some Nas in our returns, in our rejoins. Can you do that for us? He's shaking his head. We also had a conversation during the break. Lonnie, our producer, was surprised to hear that basketball is my favorite sport, because I am known as a baseball guy, and most people who listen on a regular basis know that I played baseball at the D1 level. And he was surprised by that. And Jeff wasn't, because Jeff's with me. Jeff's a very good baseball player himself, but he likes basketball better. I think there's a lot of people like that. I just happen to play baseball better. But I take more pride in having played junior college basketball than I do in having played Division I baseball. Maybe it's because I knew how hard it was going to be for me to make the roster of the particular junior college team that I played for, and that I actually started for a championship team in junior college. That's a huge feather in my cap, more so than being part of a championship team at that same junior college for the baseball team, and then moving on to play Division I baseball. Actually, I didn't move on. I went to D1 right out of high school, and then I missed basketball so much that I transferred from USF to Kenyatta College in Redwood City so I could play both sports. That's my big story. Jeff is much like me. Jeff enjoys what youngster doesn't like basketball more? It moves faster, right? It moves faster. It's harder. It's high energy. You get more immediate feedback. I'm not going to say baseball's boring. I'll never say that. If you think baseball's boring, you don't understand the nuances of baseball. You're out. Jeff just said, get out of here. And I agree with you. If you don't like baseball, you just don't know baseball. And you need to sit with somebody like, I don't know, Bip Roberts. Whenever I sit next to Bip Roberts in the press box, I leave that game a smarter baseball fan. Now, you say, I don't have that many opportunities to sit with Bip Roberts. No, you don't. And that's unfortunate. However, I got to figure that out. I got to figure out some sort of contest where the winner gets to sit with Bip Roberts. I should probably get Bip involved in this. He might need to sign off on it. But I'm not kidding. Bip is the guy that you watch a game with. Shooty Babbitt is this way too. And Sean Estes. I'll throw him in that. You watch a game with him, and they do exactly what you would hope a former big leaguer does. They point out things that non-former big leaguers, do not mention. They don't notice. They don't understand. Even me, I fancy myself to know a lot about baseball. Covered it at its highest level, played at it at a pretty damn high level. But there's a lot about baseball I don't know. And when I get done watching a game with Bip Roberts and his ilk, I know a little bit more. I need to figure out a contest to reward people like that. Let's go to Ron in Los Altos. He's been wanting to get some Niner stuff off his chest. Did you hear about the Baldy's breakdown about this tight end that he's saying the Niners absolutely have to get, even though they have George Kittle?
No, I did not hear about his breakdown. And what I wanted to talk about was Nick Bosa, if we're going to use a first-round draft choice, the number two, Are we worried about his injury history and his brother's injury history, and will they want to play hurt? What do you think?
Well, of course you're worried about any sort of injury history. Before we dive too deep into that, real quick, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco. We are a radio.com sports station. So I guess the question I have for you in response to that is, why Nick Bosa? Why not trade out of the number two spot? And look, you've got multiple needs. There's multiple holes on this roster. If you don't think that, you're not paying attention. I would like to see them go for multiple picks. Or do you think Bosa is so much of a lock, you have to get him? It sounds to me, Ron, like you're saying, I don't know, that he shouldn't be a lock because of the injury history.
Right. I'm just wondering if we should take the risk. You have a risk on everybody with anybody's injuries, but he could be a Hall of Famer and could be Alden Smith or better. And so it's one of those things where the draft is risk. And are you willing to risk this on an injury type of person? And do we think that?
Well, I would like you to answer that question, Ron. Ron?
I am just worried about the past and the history of the family. And so I think maybe Josh Allen is a more conservative pick.
Okay, so you're definitely into using that pick on a defensive lineman. You're not interested in trading out of it and getting multiple picks.
I want to get the highest quality person, and I would love to have Dee Ford on one side and another hotshot on the other side. It's going to make Quentin Buckner that much better. So, yeah, I want to have our defensive line be a stud line.
What about interior line? What about this Williams kid?
Well, he's a possibility, but we've already spent a lot of draft money on those gents, and we've only done okay.
And that might be the reason in favor of going in addressing it again, or do you think they just have a problem with evaluating those types?
I would like to see two hot shot rushers from the outside and see if we could really make a difference that way for us.
All right. Hey, you're into the sexy pick, basically, Ron.
If that's what you want to call it, I would like to have somebody to pressure the quarterback because our defensive backs are terrible.
All right, Ron, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. That's what we call in the business, turning your caller into a guest. That's how we fill 4 hours solo. We make the callers a guest, and that's why I'm encouraging you guys to call, because you're never going to get this opportunity to. Now, first off, you need to be able to bring some knowledge, because I'll get rid of you if I sense that you don't know what you're talking about. Ron happened to know what he's talking about. I get it. Ron wants, and he says you can call it the sexy pick if you want, and yes, I do want to call it the sexy pick. Getting the number two, having the number two pick in the draft and using it, whoever you're picking there, that's a sexy pick. That is a name that everybody who's into the NFL and into major college football, everybody knows that name. Now, is sexy even the right word we should attach to it? Probably not. I used to hate the word. I used to not use it. And somehow it crept into my nomenclature. I don't know why. I became a follower. I resisted it for a while. But trading out of the number two spot in the draft, that's not sexy. I hate to use it again. That's not sexy. Because when you trade out of the number two spot, that means you're going for, by its very nature, you're going for lesser lights. You're going for...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.